three episodes a week is a lot for people to listen to. So I think people get a chance to catch up on all the episodes. So it really did help the algorithms and really helped me get noticed and things. So it was a blessing in disguise, definitely. But you've got to be kind to yourself and you've got to allow yourself a chance to take a break if you need to.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. This episode, this podcast in general, is for you. It's to help you to become a better podcaster. It's to help you to be able to monetize your show. And today, I've got Vince Warnock, who is another podcaster, and we're going to talk about anything that he learned along the way, because in particular, because I like his accent. Wait, that's not what I meant. I mean, because, and in particular, he's done this for 215 episodes. I need to do my clapping. Let's see if, can you hear that, Vince?
I can hear that.
Yeah. Nice. 215 episodes is insane. And I don't think our listener has the same level. And I'm going to start here though, because you got to 215, A, because you're putting out more episodes than normal. Mm-hmm. B, because you're consistent. Mm-hmm. But then I think about, you told me in the pre-interview that you've got another podcast. Yes. So could you just tell us the amount of content that you're doing so that we can be amazed and and also feel sorry for you?
Yeah, I think feel sorry is probably the better one. To be honest, I originally launched with one episode a week. Okay. When I first launched the podcast, I thought that is going to be absolutely plenty. But I soon discovered that I absolutely love interviewing people. And I love connecting with people all over the world. And honestly, get to meet some of the most amazing entrepreneurs, bar none. Like, these people have gone on to become some of my best friends. So that one episode turned into two episodes. And then I'm like, oh man, there's such a long waiting list. Everyone wants to be on my show. Okay, it's three episodes a week. But then I'm entering into a whole new space as a side project in the moment around NFTs, not so much the investment glossy kind of side of things, but more the how does this technology, this blockchain technology, help us as entrepreneurs? And one of the things we realize is, well, we need to teach entrepreneurs how to be in this space. We need to teach them what this is about. Because most people, when you say NFTs, they either run away or they gloss over or they go, oh, that thing.
So I do like, all three. Do I do all three.
Exactly.
I just did all three.
Yeah, exactly. So we decided we need to educate people on that. And cool. A few of the ways we do that, we do 5-day challenges where we teach people all about NFTs. But we thought, let's launch the podcast and let's, as we're going on the journey, myself and one of my co-founders, let's tell them about that. Let's teach them what hot wallet is, a cold wallet. Let's teach them what the different blockchains do. Let's teach them all of these things in a way that makes it really accessible to people. But then we realized this industry is moving so fast. We can't just do one episode a week. We have to do five. So I'm currently, for the Chasing the Insights podcast, doing 3 episodes a week where I interview entrepreneurs and marketers and, you know, all these people from all over the world. And then for 5 days a week, so 5 episodes a week, I combine with Kelly Brinkley and we co-host the NFT Ninjas podcast, where Monday to Thursday, it's all short episodes, which are very much around different terminology, technology in the industry, like things you need to know. But on the fifth day, on the Friday, we actually go live. We do a live show where we bring them the latest news and, of course, some stuff around the project that we're doing as well. So 8 episodes a week, man. So yeah, definitely feel sorry for me. It's a lot.
Yeah, that just sounds crazy. And so I think that the most obvious question that needs to be asked is, like, how much of your time goes into producing 8 episodes a week? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just start there.
Well, look, here's the thing. This is the bit that surprises most people, because I have a very big team. So on one of my companies, which is doing the NFT work, we've got currently 10 staff. We're increasing that to 13. With my publishing company, I've got 4 full-time staff. We're increasing that as well at the moment. With my Chasing the Insights business, so the actual coaching side of things, I have about 3 staff, and that's going to stay the same for a little while. For my podcast, there's me. And I do all of the editing. I do all of the production work. I do all, the only thing I don't do is the marketing of it. I hand it over to my Chasing the Insights team and they take care of that for me. And they liaise with each of the different speakers after the fact. But I speaker individually before an episode to make sure that they're a good fit. That's really important to me. I interview each of them. So I do all the prep work on that. I have to do all the research. I do all of the actual audio editing of that and pushing it live, you know, 3 times a week for Chasing the Insights and 5 days a week for, well, that's a lot easier for the live show. We literally just go live and then we just chat away and make lots of errors, and it's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, let's go into errors then. I don't know how many episodes you've totally published. On one of them, it's already in the 200s. And on the other one, it's probably going to approach 200 pretty soon. So based on everything that you've learned with so much experience, and you've done some of the editing, you've done a lot of research on your own, what have you learned along the way that you can help another podcaster that's a little less far in their journey? Just a few tips.
Okay, I'm going to give them 3 key tips here. One of them is just to stop you from having the absolute disaster that I had one time, is make sure your backups have backups of backups of backups. And the reason I say that is because I remember sitting there, I was going to do a podcast episode. This was about 1.5 years ago, and it was just before Christmas. I thought, right, let's do this. Okay, I went to access the hard drive that I've got, because I have everything on external hard drives here. I've got this bank of hard drives everywhere, and I had them on this external hard drive. I went to access it, and it said denied. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe the actual drive controller has failed. So I thought, oh, I don't have a spare drive controller. This is a bit of a worry, but it's okay because I have online backups, you know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to race down to our local supplier and pick up a new drive controller. So I race down there. They were about to close. I'm banging on the door going, help. And he goes, okay, we'll let you in. Bought the new drive controller, got home, still no access. So then I thought, oh, well, at least I got the online backups. So I restored the online backups to find that over the last probably 3 or 4 months, every recording I had done was being slowly corrupted. And the online backup was saving the corrupted versions of those. And I didn't have, basically, I was going to lose 3 months worth of work. And I suddenly realized what that meant. That was when I was still doing about 1 episode a week, I think, at that point. That's still a lot of episodes, and it's a lot of people's time. And that's the bit that really gutted me, was there's some amazing people who have given up their time to be on my show. And here I was sitting there going, now I don't have these recordings. So I'm freaking out. I actually rang one of the local suppliers and just said, help. And he said, no, we can't help you with that. There's a company in New Zealand where you're based, which will help you. They do forensic backups and things, you know, like restoration of drives. So I sent it off to them, and it took probably 3 weeks, and I ended up getting it back. They restored most of them. I think I lost 2 episodes. One of those, to be honest, wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't a great episode. And the other one was, but I managed to reschedule it. But it also cost me, I think, $2,000 just to get all those backups back. So just make sure you're testing everything. Make sure you're doing your backups and all those kind of things. Honestly, it'll save you a lot of headaches. The second tip I will give you is make sure you do screen. If you're doing interviews, make sure you screen who's on your show. And I say this because I've had a few people where I thought they were going to be a good fit. And like, the people on my show are really important to me. Important to me because I want to add value to my audience. So I need to make sure that they are people that are aligned with me. And I don't mean that they have to agree with me on everything. But what I do mean is that they have to have the same kind of DNA. They have to be heart-centered. They have to be someone who genuinely wants to make an impact, not just a bro marketer or someone who wants to make money, you know? So I didn't pay too much attention to that in the early days. And there were some people that I did recordings with that will never go to air. There's a guy that every time I asked him a question, I said, oh, so what motivated you to do that? And he replied with, well, as I outlined in my best-selling novel, which you can acquire here on www.blahblahblah. And I'm like, dude, I promote you at the end. You don't need to do that. It's all good. And every answer, he would bring it back to his website. And I'm like, this guy's just selling stuff. He's not here to add value to anyone. He's here for himself. But the other one, and probably the more important one, was somebody who I look up to in the entrepreneurial industry. And when I say look up to, I mean, they're a big name. They're not really someone I follow terribly much. I've read their books before and I'm like, you know what? I don't really agree with them on much, but having them on my show would do wonders for my brand. So I thought, okay, right. And I put them on a Twitter list. I created this Twitter list called Dream Podcast Clients, made it public. And one of their team saw that and reached out to me and said, hey, he would love to be on your show. I'm like, wow, that worked. That's awesome. So,
what is this thing called?
Twitter list. Twitter, the social network. You can create a list on there where you just basically add people to that list. And I called it Dream Podcast Guests. And I can tell you now, there's about 5 people on that list that reached out to me because I added them. So I didn't have to go and pitch them or anything. They just saw that, thought, hey, he really wants me on his show. that's really nice that he added me to this list because that's public and people will see that and they'll think highly of me. But also I can do all my research before reaching out to him. So it works really well. But in this case, though, the red flag was straight away where I said to them, hey, that's fantastic. I'd love to get him on the show. Let's book a pre-call. And they said, oh, no, he's too important for that. And I thought, now, I know it's just his team. I know they probably chose the wrong word there, but that was a red flag for me, too important. I thought, interesting wording, but never mind. That's not him. That's just his team. Great. So we booked in the actual recording itself. So I didn't do a pre-call with him. It was a disaster. About halfway through the call, I didn't know what to do. I was sitting there because he was rude and arrogant to me, for starters, which I thought I can edit most of that out and make him look good. Because, you know, my goal of the show is to add value to my audience, but my secondary goal is to make sure whoever's on the show looks amazing. And I thought I could probably work with that. That's okay. But then he started talking about his audience. And he's like, look, here's the problem, Vince. When you get to my level of genius, he goes, you realize that most of the people you serve, most of your clients, most of your prospective clients, they're all idiots. Your job is to make them less of an idiot. And I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm like, that is so untrue. But anyway, I thought, keep my mouth shut. And then he turned around and he goes, look at you, Vince. You know, you're intelligent-ish. And by the way, the competitive nature of me like leapt out at that point. I was just like, oh my goodness, I've got an IQ of 165. I'm going to wipe the floor with this guy. And then I thought, no, deep breath. Take a deep breath. Just chill. Like, just work with this. Don't give in to the ego. But he turned around. He said, look, all the listeners of your show, let's face it, they're morons. But your job is to make them less of a moron. And I just said, look, I can't deal with this, man. I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stop this episode. And he goes, what? And I said, it's not a good fit. And I said, I don't mean any disrespect. I totally understand where you're coming from. But the reality is I know my audience and I know this won't resonate with them as well. And it's quite a deviation from the type of person I have on the show. And I thought, you know, I thought there's a potential he would take that badly, but I thought he might take it well. But I didn't anticipate how badly he would take it. He just started shaking. He was so angry with me. He's like, do you know who the hell I am? And I'm like, oh, no. Then he was like, he turned around. Now, and for a split second, he threatened me because he turned around. He goes, nobody does this to me. He said, I will ruin you. I will make it so no one will ever book on your show again. And I was like, really? Because I'm still recording, which means if you go out there and try and do something stupid like that, I'm just going to put this public so everyone can see what actually happened. I had quite a few conversations with his lawyers and things like that, but we decided it's not going to go out there public and he would just go on with his life and I would go on with my life. So it's all good. But it's an important lesson.
Wow, really, brother. That's, I know. That's a big example.
Well, it was something I didn't anticipate, but it made me realize the importance of actually vetting the guests on your show. It is really important. And I've had the kind of flip side of that, I guess, is it's not so much a negative, but it was an interesting one because I number my show. So you'll see when you go to Chasing the Insights, it's episode 215 is live. Now 216 is going live tomorrow. But I had a previous guest reach out who had shared quite a bit of their personal story on my show. And to me, if anyone turns around and says, I don't want that show live, I will pull that from here. But I will also have a conversation with them first. And she just turned around and said, look, I can't have that on here. I need you to remove it immediately. And I was like, okay, sure. Let's talk through this. You know, is there a way that I can make it that we still have the show there? Because otherwise it's going to be a big gap, you know, in my schedule. And everyone will notice that and go, ooh, what happened there? As they seem to do with Joe Rogan, every time one of his episodes is suddenly missing, it's like, oh, I don't want that. But when I talked to her, it was actually a devastating story. It was because she shared a lot of her background and she had come from a lot of hardship and things like that as well. And she was trying to help a lot of people. And that's why she shared her story. But she signed with a new coach who said, well, you're not making money helping people. You don't want to go doing that. So what you want to do is distance yourself from who you are, put on this persona, and you're going to be selling this high-end stuff. And unfortunately, she was at a moment where she was desperate for money and desperate for some kind of breakthrough and success. So she agreed to do all that. And based on that, I said, well, no, I'm not removing the episode, but what I'm doing is removing your name. And she was very happy with that. So we anonymized it and put it out there because I said to her, look, at some point you are going to regret that. At some point you are going to realize that passion you have to help people is going to kick in and you're going to want that episode live. So I'm going to keep it there for you and we'll just remove your name. So that was a big eye-opener. So you definitely have to vet your clients and you've got to be very careful about that, which is...
Your guests. Yeah. That's the one. Well, so the three key tips. We talked about backups on backups on backups on backups. Oh, yeah. Yep. We talked about screening guests and you had some really great examples and insights. One of them is the Twitter list, your dream podcast list that you created on the social media platform. You also talked about that one gentleman who was really, what's the word, condescending to his followers and to your followers. Yeah. And you also talked about the woman who had the coach who felt like it was important that she wasn't vulnerable with her people. Yeah. Although I would assume, Vince, you and I both disagree with that coach.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Just honestly, I wanted to just double check because I was going to delete our episode if you said you disagreed with me.
I would agree with deleting the episode if I said that. Now, look,
And so you mentioned the takeaway there was that you still published the episode, but you took her name off. What was the third key tip?
The third key tip is to make sure you don't put yourself under too much pressure. And by this, like, you know, as you heard, I do 3 episodes a week for Chasing the Insights. I do 5 episodes a week for the NFT Ninjas. I hit the wall at the beginning of last year. I had a whole pile of things on. I was running a summit at the time with 30 different speakers I had to, you know, kind of manage and things. I had a VA who was supposed to be taking care of a whole pile of stuff that just vanished on me. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much for that. So that put all the pressure back on me. While, by the way, we were moving house, while we're in the middle of a pandemic, while we're also going down for a friend's wedding, which was one of the few weddings that were allowed during the pandemic, and launching an academy program. So I'm like, okay, so with all of that, the pressure to do 3 episodes a week at that time was intense. And I remember I was really feeling it. I remember feeling very overwhelmed, very stressed. I woke up one morning and I realized I'm not okay. So I had a word to one of my coaches, and I believe every coach should have a coach. Every coach's coach should have a coach, but just someone that could speak into your life there. So I reached out to one of my coaches and they did the funniest thing to me. They turned around and they said, okay, very urgent. Here's what you need to do, Vince. Grab a paper and pen. I said, yep. And they said, I need you to write down a list of every single name. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm panicking this moment. Go, right, I need to write down every single name. They said, every single name. I said, yep. Of all the people that are going to die if you don't put an episode out tonight. And I went, oh, ha, ha. And they said, okay, well, look, let's make it a little bit lighter then. Maybe write down just all the names of the people that are going to be maimed, destroyed, lose their business, lose sleep, all the people that are going to be devastated that you don't put an episode out. And I just sat there quietly and I looked at them and went, touche. And they said, the only person that's put this pressure on you is you. So I had to be kind to myself. I had to make the decision. I told my wife, I said, look, I need to just step away from the business for a couple of weeks. And I just need to actually get some sleep, get some rest, look after myself and things. So I decided no episodes for 2 weeks. And you'll see, if you ever look at the timestamps on all my episodes, there's a 2-week period there at the beginning of last year where there are no episodes. And you know what happened? Not a single thing. I didn't lose any subscribers. I didn't lose any traction. In fact, weirdly, when I went back after the 2 weeks and started launching again, I seemed to get increased traction there. And I think a part of the thing was 3 episodes a week is a lot for people to listen to. So I think people actually had a chance to catch up on all the episodes. So it really did help the algorithms and really helped me get noticed and things. So it was a blessing in disguise, definitely. But you've got to be kind to yourself and you've got to allow yourself a chance to take a break if you need to.
That is impactful. I'm just typing out some notes because I love this. This is good. This is good. So to wrap that part up, what I'm learning from it, not to put too much pressure on yourself. Your coach, I love those 2 questions. List everybody who's going to die. Okay, yeah. Nobody. Yeah. List everybody who's going to be devastated. Well, nobody. Yeah. And so you gave yourself permission to chillax. And there's a lot in business, moving, relationships, spouse, you know, exercise, getting outside, eating right. There's a lot of this that seems to be, it all compounds on each other. It all fortifies, or whatever the opposite of fortify would be, if you're doing it right or wrong. And I love that you woke up one morning and just said, I'm not okay. And you got it all figured out. And the takeaway, it's like, be kind to yourself, love yourself, self-care. And I've been flying a lot lately now that COVID is kind of up again and we don't have to wear masks on planes. But
I'm very jealous that you get to fly, but yep.
You don't?
Still in lockdown here in New Zealand.
Oh my gosh.
We can fly domestically, but really you can't leave the country without having difficulties getting back in. So yeah.
Well, when I fly, generally they always say to put your own mask on before you put that on your kids. Or sometimes they make a joke and they say, or your husband who's like a kid. But the point being financially, for example, you need your own house in order financially before you can help anyone else with their finances. The same thing with your own self-care, self-love. Your podcast helps entrepreneurs to be able to be empowered and to chase and to go to where they want to go. Like, you serve people doing that.
Yeah.
And if you're not wearing your airplane mask first, your oxygen mask that drops from the ceiling, then you're going to pass out and you're not going to be able to serve any of them. So that's cool. I love that.
Adam, because like entrepreneurs, and I say entrepreneurs as a general rule, because that's who I serve, but entrepreneurs, you know, every podcast host is an entrepreneur, every author is an entrepreneur, every creator is an entrepreneur. But entrepreneurs in general really do suck at self-care. And I know I'm being very generalistic there, but it's what I've seen. It's the trend that I've definitely seen as well. And so you need to call yourself to account to it. I've actually put in place, I have, as well as my coaches. So I've got coaches for different areas of my business. So any area that I'm weaker on, I'll make sure I've got somebody there to kind of bolster me, that if I need to, tap into their knowledge, I can. But one of the other ones I have is an accountability coach. And that accountability coach is a little bit different from what most people expect. It's not someone to go, are you working on the right things? Are you producing the... I'm a workaholic. Like, I have ADHD, and the hyper-focus aspect of ADHD can destroy you if you're not careful. You can get into the state where, you're working straight for 12 hours and you haven't taken a break. You haven't gone to the bathroom. You hadn't any food. You got to stand up and go, why am I going to pass out? You're like, oh, crap, ADHD. So I make sure I counter that by having automation all around my home. So my house actually talks to me all the time. Like, my computer every now and then, in between meetings, it'll go, hey, Vince, have you been to the bathroom? I'm like, don't condescend to me, but good idea. I'm going to the bathroom now. But I have an accountability coach who is there to make sure that I'm looking after myself. And at first that was super embarrassing for me, because it's like, well, that's just being an adult. And it's embarrassing that I can't seem to look after myself in that way. But then I realized I'm wired very different from other people. I'm wired very different from my wife. Like, my wife is very balanced. She's very introverted. She can, she has a very good kind of helicopter view of everything there, where I'm this ADHD manic shiny object squirrel kind of mode all the time. So having someone that can actually check in on me is really, really important. And the way that we do it, she worked out that writing is my happy place. So if I'm writing, that means I'm looking after myself, because it means I've actually taken the time to do something that I love. And usually that is a good indication that I'm having rests and things. So she will check in with me every week and just go, oh, how's the writing going? And she will check my word count and go, interesting. That doesn't seem to be terribly much writing. What's going on, Vince? I'm like, oh, well, I've had this and this on and this on and this on. She goes, okay. And she's on Zoom with me and she picks up her phone and I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, nothing, nothing. She's texting away. And then suddenly my wife will come in and go, so just got a text from her. Let's put a plan in place. I'm like, you guys, they gang up on me. But it's important to me to make sure that I'm actually looking after myself. Like you said, if you don't look after yourself, you can't look after anyone else. And I'm the type of person that genuinely wants to make an impact in this world. I want to help as many entrepreneurs as I can to succeed. And you can't do that if you can't succeed yourself.
Yeah. Really good stuff. Appreciate you going into that. Three really good tips. It's like, where do we take it now? How about this? Do you plan on starting any other podcasts, or do you think you would give yourself permission to start another podcast?
If I could ensure that it wasn't going to cause me to burn out, then yes, I would definitely give myself permission. I love podcasting. I've got a background in radio. I worked as an on-air announcer for our largest radio station here for years. And that for me was, most of that was my dream job. Because I still remember, man, I was 7 years old. I built my first crystal radio set with no schematics, nothing. I literally built it based on principles. Could only get one station, but I would listen to that station nonstop. And I would listen to these DJs and go, wait, there's a job out there where you are paid to talk with other people, to have fun, to play music, and to interact with fans, essentially. I'm like, sign me up. This must be the dream job. So when I finally got a job in radio, and the beauty of that was they approached me, not the other way around, which was even better. So I was poached for radio. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. Until I realize how little they pay you. I'm like, oh, it's not quite the dream job anymore. So podcasting is that new thing for me. That is the area where I get to be in an environment that I absolutely love. I love interacting with people. I love meeting people. I love getting into the brain of people and extracting out those insights. So all of that is really, really exciting. I just need to make sure that I don't burn out as a result of that. So if I can balance it, definitely, I'll do that. But at the moment, I definitely cannot. I think my team would kill me if I said I'm going to launch another one.
If you changed anything today, on either podcast, what would that be?
Oh, that's a tough question, man. My podcasts have grown and grown, which is awesome. And I'm pretty happy with the growth on both of them. My Chasing the Insights one's currently in the top 5% of podcasts in the world. And our NFT Ninjas has just jumped into the top 10%. So I'm very happy with that in such a short amount of time. But
wait.
Woo!
All right.
I need one of those who will go around with me everywhere.
Top 5, top 10.
Yeah. Top 5 and top 10.
What would you change if there was anything?
I would actually grow them faster. And I know that sounds very selfish, but I'm a marketer. And one of the problems we have as marketers is I know what I'm doing. Like, I've been doing marketing for 20 odd years. I got named by Adobe as one of the top 50 marketers in the world. Like, I know this space inside out. I know how to make things work, which of course means I don't do any of that because like a builder's house, it's just never complete. Yep. And my own podcast, I never market it properly or anything like that. So the thing I'd do different is actually to hire a team to put together a roadmap based on where I want to head with it and execute that for me, because specifically, like particularly in the early days of the podcast, I did all of the execution myself, even the marketing side of things, which meant it was done really poorly, really second, like, you know, haphazardly kind of thing as well. And I wasn't really happy with the quality of that. So having a team that can run with that would have made life a lot easier.
That's super, super good. If I'm hearing you and I'm listening, I've never marketed my podcast, let's say,
yep.
But I'm hearing that it's important. Is there somebody to call? Is there a certain budget in mind? What would be kind of the takeaways so that I could do marketing if I felt like it was important, like you're saying?
I think the key thing is before any kind of budget or anything like that is actually having a clear strategy with it, because marketing is important. And I'm not just saying that because I'm completely biased and a marketer, but there's no point having a podcast and producing content every week if no one's listening to it. I mean, you know, you're basically just doing that for yourself. But if you really want to help people, they need to find it and they need to listen to it. So one of the things I would do is actually understand your audience, understand what's important to them. I put together a strategy around that. We'd look at how we can get organic growth, particularly. I'm a big advocate for this. I don't pay for any advertising until you know that the marketing that you have works really well. So in other words, if you're putting out, you know, say social media posts, if you're putting out emails that are really getting results from people, so you know that the headlines are really clicking with people, they're really resonating with the type of guests you have, resonating with the topics, some of the key bullet points you pull out of there. If all of that is working for you and you're getting that traction, that's the point where you can start to look at, maybe now we do some paid advertising and try and scale that. I kind of liken it to a bucket. You know, you've got this bucket that you're pouring all these people into. And with organic, you're pouring them into the bucket and usually finding there's a whole pile of holes in the bucket. So you got to plug all those holes before you actually go and grab the fire hose and just fill the bucket rapidly, you know? So you've got to make sure that everything you put in the top is going to be really efficient and come out the bottom. So otherwise, you're just wasting money.
I love it. That's really good. You mentioned that if you have a podcast, there's no point of that podcast if you don't have any listener base.
Yeah.
And I've said that on the show before, and I just like the way that you mentioned it. I think I've said, you know, if you have a podcast where you're the only one who really knows about it, it's more of a journal than it is a podcast, you know. And there's two main reasons why people want to have a podcast. Either they want to leave a legacy.
Yep.
And or they want to monetize. They want to grow their business or have sponsors, make revenue somehow.
Yep.
And I mean, there are other things that can happen through a podcast. Like we can learn, we can connect. Those are also benefits, but there are secondary benefits to the main two, which are monetizing and or leaving your legacy, impacting people. Yeah. And if you have nobody listening, you can't monetize with sponsors or with your own products or services or coaching.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any listeners, you can't impact anyone. And so I just love that. There's no point in podcasting if...
There is a third category I would add in there, although it is very, very tied to the monetization piece. Because when I looked at launching Chasing the Insights, I had come off the back of being the chief marketing officer at Cigna Insurance. I had wanted to launch a podcast for years and years earlier, but I just had no time. But I finally left there to become a full-time author. That was going to be the goal. I was like, right, I'm leaving Cigna. I'm just going to write books. Turns out writing a book full-time when you have ADHD is not really good for your mental health. So that lasted about a week and I thought I was going to go loopy. So I embarked on this next phase of my career, which is really helping entrepreneurs. So for me, the podcast was really a chance for me to go, okay, first of all, I know I can generate leads from it. And I know that's difficult, right? Because I don't want sponsors on my show. Or if I find sponsors that are a good match, I may consider it. But at the moment, I haven't really found anyone that I think is a good match for, you know, my DNA, for my ethics, all those kind of things. I definitely won't have advertising on the show because I don't want, you know, it just to be some kind of advertising platform and things. So I think, right, if I'm going to generate leads from the show, it's going to be difficult because of the nature of when people listen to a podcast. Like most of the time when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm either driving or I'm going for a run or going for a walk or I'm in the shower or whatever. You're not really in front of a computer going clickety click click. You know, you can't click on all those links and go and buy whatever product or offering or anything that you're selling. So I thought that's going to be a difficult task, but that is one of my outcomes and definitely did achieve that. But the other reason I wanted to do it was for thought leadership. And for me, it was about going, okay, in the marketing industry, I'm very well known, you know, like I said, you know, I've got the recognition, I've toured the world, I've spoken on some of the biggest stages. In the entrepreneurial space, I've had a string of successes. My previous company, and before I joined Cigna, we sold multi-eight figures after only 3.5 years, although that was 3.5 years of extreme stress and anxiety, but still 3.5 years to multi-eight figures is pretty impressive, you know? So I knew I had good results, but I wasn't a household name when it comes to entrepreneurship. And I knew entering into the space that I am now, I needed something that would elevate me. I had my books, you know, I was an author, but I really wanted a platform to which to be able to launch that thought leadership play. So that's where the podcast came in. Now, that's tied to obviously revenue because the more you're elevated into thought leadership, the more people will want to buy from you anyway. But I can tell you now, it definitely achieved that and then some. It was crazy. The doors that you can open from having a podcast, it's insane. You can connect with almost anybody, you know? So you can go, right, I want to connect with Gary Vee. Let's talk to his team about getting on the show. You know, it's like, hey, I want him on my show. And they're like, oh, well, that's handy. Sure. Hey, Gary Vee, I want to talk to you about an opportunity. He's like, oh, how many of these do I get a week? You know?
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Vince, thank you so much. Your podcast episodes are in our show notes. I mean, not the episodes, the shows. The two different shows are already listed in our show notes. Your bio's in the show notes and the links to be able to connect with you. So for the listener, you can just scroll down and connect with Vince. Vince, thank you for jumping on the show. I really appreciated those three key tips with backups on backups of backups, screening your guests, and some of the stories that you had behind that so we could really take those lessons. And also just the permission that you gave us as podcasters to really focus on ourselves first instead of forgetting about ourselves just to do these things. A lot of impact that I got from this episode. I really appreciate you, and I'll see you very soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.